out.
Oh, hey, David, oh, we're recording.
Oh, hey, welcome to the Napcast. My name is David.
And my name is Seth.
And this is going to be a little bonus Patreon episode.
Woo!
So we're going to talk about, kind of as a follow-up to one of our previous episodes, we talked about Greek mythology and some
of our favorite
stories. So here we're going to talk about some of our favorite, I guess you could say, mythical creatures, not only from Greek mythology, but that'll be the starting point. So Seth, to start things off, what do you think about the Pegasus?
Pegasus is a very common fantasy animal, I think, in pop culture. It's one of the more recognizable ones.
Definitely. Do you prefer it with or without a horn?
To be like a
flying unicorn or like just a flying horse?
I prefer it as a flying horse.
Just a typical flying horse?
Yeah.
Yeah. To be honest, I think I do as well. That's one of my favorite mythical creatures, you could say, or fantasy creatures, is just the Pegasus.
See, one of my favorite fantasy creatures is actually the Griffin.
The Griffin, which is like, it's almost like a flying lion.
It's a winged lion, essentially.
There's other components to it, too, but I cannot remember what they are.
Well, if the one you're thinking of is actually a manticore.
Manticore
is basically a griffin with, I believe it's a scorpion tail, in addition.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of fantasy creatures are built around lions, for whatever reason.
Because lions are powerful, even though they just lie around all day. We're not lying. Okay.
One was bad enough.
I'm sorry. Okay. So manticores are cool. Honestly, my favorite is probably the Pegasus, but what do you think of like a minotaur, where the things that are the head are the not human parts? As opposed to like a centaur.
I'm very confused about the minotaur because I want to know if it's, which part is the not human part, because I don't think it ever actually, well, it might say actually, but a minotaur in broader terms, like,
it's just half man, half bull.
It's just
bull,
half
right?
man, half bull. So which half is which then?
But the typical depictions are where the top half is the bull.
Typically, yes.
Or at least just the head is the bull.
I think that's what it is in the actual Theseus story. That
sometimes it's the head is the bull, and then like from the waist down, kind of like a satyr or a faun, kind of. Where it's got like it's got like those hooves of like the back part of a bull, but then the torso is a human, but then the head is a bull again.
Sometimes, and it speaks English somehow.
Sometimes it just grunts. That might be the Narnia depiction, to be honest. I'm not entirely sure.
C.S. Lewis did take a lot of fantasy characters into his Narnia tales.
He really did. I do like the centaurs as well, just kind of in general. I feel like that's a cool concept, though I'm a bit concerned about things that were also raised in C.S. Lewis's novel. I forget which one it was. Probably The Silver Chair, I think.
About riding centaurs?
No, about centaurs having two stomachs. And the fact that they have to eat for human food and then they have to graze for like an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
every morning for breakfast, they have to eat a whole big breakfast and then they have to go graze for an hour and eat oats and barley and a whole bunch. And the list was like super long and it was like complicated. And the whole point was you should never have a centaur over to stay at your house unless you are adequately prepared to feed both the human part and the horse part or something goofy.
So unless you're a hobbit.
Yeah, well, to be fair, hobbits eat a lot, too.
Exactly.
So I'm sure they have a lot of food on hand, but I'm sure that disappears very quickly.
See, that's one thing that I find very interesting about a lot of fantasy creatures and fantasy races, too, is how much they eat. Because in a lot of fantasy tales, dwarves are the boisterous ones who eat a lot.
And they drink a lot, too.
And they drink a lot. They drink more than they eat, if that's even possible. And then there's the hobbits or the halflings in Lord of the Rings and other.
Do those count as fantasy creatures?
Technically, they do.
Okay, so I like hobbits as well. Those are very well known for being short, having kind of large barefoot feet usually because they don't wear shoes.
I think everyone has barefoot feet.
Well, what I'm saying is they don't often wear shoes.
Right.
But yeah, most people do have barefoot feet. That's a very common appearance amongst humans and non-fantasy.
I prefer shoed feet, but.
You know, barefoot feet works too. But then hobbits are well known for being pretty quick, being silent as they sneak around, and eating like twice as much as a person that size should ever eat.
Twice as much. I think it's at least three times as much on the number of meals that they have.
Well, I mean, if they have six full meals as opposed to, two full meals and then like breakfast. It's close to a little more than twice as much. Three times as much makes sense too. It's a lot of food to eat.
It is a lot of food.
Another creature that I really like is entirely unrelated to hobbitses. Herbal salt. But it does show up in Lord of the Rings, and it's also not specific to Lord of the Rings. It is the dragon.
Oh, yes. I was wondering when we'd get to dragons.
Yeah, dragons are
quite like dragons.
Awesome creatures. I mean, they can fly. Well, a lot of them can fly around. The typical depiction is that they can fly, that they are pretty large, that they're vicious, kind of like, I wouldn't say
well,
a T-Rex.
Well, it's very interesting, actually, that you bring that up, because there are two very, very different depictions of dragons in different cultures' folklore. For example, in Eastern folklore, like in Chinese mythology, the dragon is supposed to be this ancient, wise creature who's very benevolent and is a symbol of luck in a lot of cases.
Right.
And then you have the Western view of the dragon, which is this gigantic winged monster that just terrorizes everything for the heck of it.
And breathes fire and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder how those two variants differed. Maybe somebody saw the concept of a dragon when they were visiting China and was like, you know, that looks familiar. I bet I can make a horror movie out of this. dragons have been around far longer than horror movies have.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. Horror movies don't need to persist as long as they have, to be honest. A lot of them aren't that good.
That's another episode.
Getting
in
back
and of
on
itself.
Topic. No. But dragons, there are actually a lot of different variants of dragons. Like,
indeed.
One of my favorite examples of the diversity of dragons themselves is the movie and the subsequent series that went with it, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes.
There are so many different types of dragons. I mean, they've got some that all they do is chew the rock and they can spit it out really quickly at you. There are some that fly around and they, quote-unquote, turn you inside out.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that breathe, instead of fire, they breathe super hot water. There are some that breathe supercharged, like frozen water that's like ice. So like when it hits, it's like a vapor, but it's ice or something
yep.
like that. They've got a whole science behind every dragon. Like they've gone through and they've figured it out.
Yeah,
everything.
It's the movies have created a very, very grounded dragon mythos, which sounds very weird to say about a fantasy creature.
But at the same time, it's great. I have spent hours just wandering through the wikis, just researching all the different types of dragons. And
frankly,
I mean, one of my favorites is the Night Fury because, I mean, it's so unique.
It is.
As a dragon. Like, its wingspan is much larger in proportion to its body than most mm-hmm. other dragons have. It breathes a completely different type of fire than most ever dragons do because it's got little plasma bursts.
Yep.
Which does not have a shot limit, which is something you need to look up if you don't know what that is. But those kind of dragons. But then you get, like, the alpha dragons, which, I mean, two of them showed up in the second movie of How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep.
But then you also have, like, it's not alpha. I want to say it's beta, but it's like the second level up. It's the queen level, I guess, instead of king.
Yeah.
Is that the right classification? But like the Red Death dragon was this level that was just under the alpha level, like a little bit smaller, not quite as powerful, but still fairly powerful.
Yeah.
And that was the main antagonist dragon from the first movie. A little bit smaller than the ones in the second movie, not quite as powerful, but, you know, more menacing. They live in volcanoes and things like that. Speaking of dragons and this kind of creature, going back to Greek mythology, another really cool creature that kind of shows up in How to Train Your Dragon, but not actually, is the Hydra.
Yes.
That, the multi-headed thing that when you cut off one head.
Oh, man, we forgot
more.
The Hydra.
How did we forget the Hydra?
I don't know.
We've got it now. We've got the Hydra.
Yep, here
That's
we go.
One of our favorites as well. There are some depictions where like different heads of the Hydra do different things, but a lot of depictions that there's just like three or four or seven or however many heads you haven't cut off or something like that, that they all breathe fire at you or something like that. But it's usually kind of depicted as a dragon. You know,
some kind of draconic creature,
or like a, I guess, a serpent-like creature.
Yeah,
which I mean, dragons would fall into the serpent per se category. So, but a lot of like Hydra that we've noticed, they appear to be depicted in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I'm sure there are some, but there, I don't remember very many Hydra that are depicted as like having the body of a lion or anything like that, where it's a mammal as opposed to like a serpent.
Yeah,
like a reptile.
I think you're right. For the most part, all the Hydras I'm thinking of have been fairly lizard-like or draconic.
with one exception, there is this section of Hydra where there were people, where if you killed one, two more would show up, and they would shoot back at you. And they had these really, really cool death guns that they apparently didn't know how to use because they never killed any protagonists or anything. I'm speaking from the movie, The Avengers.
So now we've jumped gears completely.
Or no, that wasn't even the Avengers. I'm speaking from
Captain America.
Captain America, which ties into the Avengers, but
cut off its head.
Yeah, so
two more will take its place.
Which, quick side note, that spot where the main villain, the Red Skull guy, where he's talking, you see him facing one direction, but the way the camera shows that when it finally pans, you see like, you know, 10 people standing behind him, and he finally turns around to talk to them, and then the camera switches, and you see that the way that he was originally facing is like thousands of people. And that camera shot is amazing. But again, I got completely off topic.
The filmographer in you coming out.
I'm sorry. I do enjoy those aspects of film and whatnot. I've been learning about them and screenwriting and tricks and things like that fairly recently. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so that's, we're coming to the end of this little mini-sode, I would say. So we're going to wrap this one up. Should we do something different for just this little goofy mini-episode?
Yeah.
What do you think we should do?
Well, I mean, we were beatboxing at the beginning of the video, so you want to end with that?
Sure, but I'm not sure how we're going to end up saying goodbye by beatboxing. That requires, that requires some prearranged, what's the term? Choreography. Well, that's not right, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we have to have something planned out in order to do that.
Us planning things out?
Oh, yeah. So, since I can't really sing all that well, we'll have you sing something goofy about goodbye, and I'll just beatbox underneath.
All right.
All right, ready?
Coming to the end of our show. It's been really great, you know. Now we gotta say goodbye. So, here it is. Goodbye.
That was a very creative... All right, and we'll catch you all next time.